Good morning. How we doing? Good to see you this morning. Good to have you here. A couple of things, or one thing I want to make mention to you is you can see the new doors that are going in. This door, don't go out that door, because it drops off to nothing at the moment. And then we have this door that's going to go into the new worship center sanctuary there. And just wanted to let you know that here in the next month or so, we're going to be running out of money to continue the project, right? And so we are going to be talking a little bit about that and how we're going to proceed forward. The cool thing, though, is that a little while ago, we had a gift from somebody in our church that passed away of $24,000 that came in. So that was pretty cool. And so as we move forward with this project, just be in prayer that God is going to do what God does, and that he's going to come and show up. And at the end of the day, we're going to be one day worshiping over there. All right, let's get started for this morning. We are in Psalm 23. Talking about living in the goodness of God, and you know that life is a mixture of good times, bad times, ups and downs, highs and lows, mountaintops and valleys. And so we're going to look at this theme this morning of God being in the valleys with us. Even in our darkest days, God says, I'm here, and I'm here with you. And every week we've started by reading the 23rd Psalm into the portion that we're going to talk about. And so again, let's do that this morning. Psalms 23, we're going to go through the first four verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Okay, we're going to stop there for this morning. And did you catch that part in verse 4 where it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? The valley of the shadow of death. The Hebrew word there for shadow of death means darkness or dark shadows, right? It contains the same root word there for death. And so when we read Psalms 23, verse 4, you could read it this way, even though I walk through the darkest valley, right? Which might include death, right? The loss of a loved one. So I got to thinking this past week about the valley and how God is there in our valley times, in our darkest times of life. That there was a king in Israel, Ahab. And when the Syrian army decided that they were going to overthrow and dethrone and oust King Ahab, so here's what happens. The king of Syria gets 32 nations to come after Israel. Right, and they do. They like come after them. And God miraculously gives Israel a victory and soundly defeats the king of Syria and his 32 buddies. Very next year, the Syrians, they decide they're going to try it again. So they come back to take over Israel. So they're reviewing the battle plan from the year before. And the Syrian generals come up with a different plan. So check this out in verse 23 of 1 Kings chapter 20. It's not in your notes or on the screen this morning, but just listen to this. And they said this, and the servants of the king of Syria said to him, their gods are gods of hills, and so they were stronger than we. But let us fight them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they. And so here's the idea. The idea is that they have this localized idea of deity. And it was a big deal back then. And they felt that particular gods had authority over particular areas. And because the recent victory was won in a hilly terrain, the servants of the king of Syria believed that the God of Israel was a localized deity with power over the hills, not the plains, right? So if we fight them in the valley, then surely we'll defeat them. So they, what do? They adjust the battle plan. They bring this huge army back to Israel. In fact, the Bible says this in 1 Kings 20, 27, 28, and the people of Israel were mustered and they were provisioned and they went against them. The people of Israel encamped before them like two little flocks of goats, but the Syrians, they filled the country. And a man of God came near and said to the king of Israel, thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said the Lord is the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys, therefore I will give all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So the deal with the Syrian army is like they had like 100,000 troops coming against Israel. Israel maybe had like 7,000. So it was going to be a slaughter, right? But that's not the end of the story. So defeat looks like a sure thing. But God had something to say about it. Therefore, I'll give you all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. The point is this, is that God is God. He's not just the God of our mountaintop experience, not just in good times. When you're on cloud nine, right? God is the God of the valleys too. The word valley there obviously is a metaphor for what? Our difficult times. And we see this throughout Scripture, right? The valley of troubles, the valley of weeping. Valleys are the symbolic thing, a metaphor for difficult times in our lives. And God says, I'm not just the God of the peak experiences, I'm also the God of the darkest of times. Times of despair. Times of defeat. Times of discouragement. Because the truth of the matter is that most of life is not lived on the mountaintop. When you're on the mountaintop, the view's pretty good, isn't it? Like I remember years ago, I took a group of high school students on an extreme backpacking trip in Montana. Right? We spent most of the time, and when I mean extreme, I mean like we had nothing up there. Right? We spent most of the time about 7,000 feet. The view was unbelievable. You could see for miles. It was awesome. But you know what? It only lasted for a few days, and then we returned to what? The valley. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at what we know about valleys. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So what do we know about the valleys? And then we're going to look at what we need to remember when we're in the valleys. And I don't know what you're going through right now. Some of you might be here and you're on the mountaintop today. But some of you are probably in a deep, dark valley. Right? You're just in a tight spot. But whatever kind of valley you're in, I truly believe that this message is for you. You'll get something out of it. So let's first talk about what we know about valleys. And the first thing we know about valleys is valleys are a part of life. Right? In other words, they're inevitable. They're a part of normal life. You can't avoid them. They will happen. You just either came out of a valley, or you're in the middle of a valley, or you're going into one. Just what happens. And so we shouldn't be shocked or surprised as we navigate our way through the valleys of life. The question is not if we'll go through the valley, it's why. It's when. We all experience disappointments in life. We all have distractions and disturbances and despair. We are living it, right? Metaphorically, when we talk about valleys, we know when we're in the center of God's will, valleys are just part of the deal, right? It's part of the plan. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Right? Don't be surprised that you're going to find yourself in a valley, right? It's going to happen. And it might be a little bit weird to think about, but instead of thinking of trials, even fiery trials or valleys, like we're talking about this morning, as strange consequences, we see them as ways to what? Partake in the sufferings of Christ. Right? The Bible talks a lot about this. Here are just a few examples. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Luke 9:23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. 2 Corinthians 1:5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also your comfort is abundant through Christ. And then verse 13 in 1 Peter 4, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. And our tendency is to what? To grab a hold of the glory and the joy and to kind of, let's like avoid the suffering part. Right? Or in a very unhealthy way, we fixate on the suffering and we forget that it's a necessary thing so we can get to the glory and joy. He says to the degree, which implies a measure. To those who have suffered more in Jesus will rejoice probably more at his coming in glory. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking it's good to share anything with Jesus, even in his suffering. So don't be surprised if something unusual is happening to you. The second thing we know is that valleys happen to everyone. Right? Not only will valleys happen, they're inevitable, but they're impartial as well. Good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people, right? Valleys are impartial. Psalms 34:19 says this, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So although both the righteous and the wicked have troubles, the outcome of the circumstances is different because they're different relationship with the Lord. Right? God knows and sees everything, and he's concerned for the good of those who love him. Right? The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. He delivers them out of all of their troubles. And so people say things like, I got problems because God is punishing me. Right, I hear that a lot. God is punishing me. Well, maybe God does discipline those who he loves, right? But more often than not, we all have problems because we're part of the human race. We live in a world that is broken and it has fallen, and we have valleys. Well, we have issues, we have trials, we have problems, and no one's immune. No one's insulated from pain or sorrow. No one sails through life with no issues. You know that. That's not new to you. Being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, doesn't exempt us. Jesus says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So not only are valleys inevitable and partial, but number three, they're unpredictable. All right, and that's a part that makes them a little disturbing, isn't it? Like you can't plan for them. You can't predict them. You can't time them. And typically, they catch us off guard. Right? And don't they come at the worst times? Like it'd be all right if we could plan it, right? Like on Tuesday, the 21st, it's going to start. Right? If we could plan it, it would be a little bit better. But usually, they come at the worst times, right? You don't have time or you're unprepared, and they come when it's just inconvenient. Right? And it only takes a phone call. Right, disasters come quickly. Accidents come quickly. None of us know what's going to happen even this evening. Not much less tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. Right, in an instant, things can change. Someone makes a decision you have nothing to do with. Right, you're just sitting at the stoplight, minding your own business. And someone makes a decision to run out of light and life changes in an instant. Psalms 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Right? So we shouldn't brag about things that we haven't accomplished yet. Probably shouldn't brag about them even when you do accomplish them, but you get the point. Right? It's only a foolish person that boasts about tomorrow. Because we can't know for certain what tomorrow's going to bring. And we as humans, we don't even have the knowledge and power to control what's going on right now, let alone what's going to come later. So what can we do, though, to give both present and the future, and we can place that into God's hands. And if we're smart, we'll make plans in the awe of the Lord. Just humbly trusting Him to work things out. We're making some plans, and we're just going to humbly trust that God will work that out. And I realize we're living in times that are super unpredictable right now. Like, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, literally, right? This pandemic is affecting us in such a way that we really don't know what tomorrow has in store for us. The reality is that none of us are secure in this world except in Christ. Right? Nothing is for certain. We're not guaranteed anything. We're not guaranteed our next meal. We're not guaranteed our next heartbeat. Even when we feel secure, we're incredibly fragile and completely dependent on Jesus for literally every breath that we take. That being said, let me encourage you a little bit this morning with some verses here. They're not on the screen, but just listen to these verses. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And I don't know about you, but when we're in times like we're living in right now, where there's a bunch of unpredictableness and a bunch of uncertainty, these verses are comforting to me. Just know that no matter what happens, God is there. He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. All right, regardless of the valleys that you and I go through, what do we need to remember? So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So the one thing we need to remember is that you are not alone. Right? God is with us. So even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? The valley of the shadow of death is as much the shepherd's right path as green grass and quiet waters. One of the greatest problems in the valley of death is what? It's fear. Is God still in control? Right? Is evil going to overtake the day? The shepherd's presence is the answer to our fears. Jesus himself trusted God the Father through the valley of death. And God was faithful to him. And Jesus, as our shepherd, traveled through the valley of the shadow of death, and he came out triumphant on the other side. We will not fear because our shepherd, Jesus, is with us. And up to this point, you'll notice David has been talking about the Lord in the second person, right? He makes, he leads, he restores. And now to emphasize that God is near, he switches. You are with me. Your rod and staff. You prepare. You anoint in verses 4 and 5. Right? This is one valley that each of us will go through at some point. And a couple of things about this valley of death. One is that even though I walk through, right, tells us that the valley is what? It's temporary. You do walk through it. And you don't walk through it alone. Because God is with us in that valley. The second is the valley, it says the valley of the shadow of death. And the way we deal with this is important. A lot of people fear death because they're just not ready to meet God. Right? It's the fear of the shadow of death that haunts people. And fear is an image without substance, which is exactly what a shadow is, right? The thing is there can't be a shadow without light. And the shadow of our lives are the evidence of the presence of what? Light in our lives. Remember, what God is what? He's with us. The way you deal with the shadow of depression or the shadow of death, or the shadow of fear, or the shadow of losing your mind, literally I'm talking about here, or you name the shadow, you turn your back to the shadow and you look what? Towards the light. And all of a sudden you can't see the shadow anymore. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so when we fear the shadow of whatever it is, the key is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Stop focusing on the stuff that scares us and look at the light of Jesus. God is with you. You're not going through this stuff by yourself. Remember Isaiah 43, verse 2. I read it a minute ago. It applies great here. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And even though you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the fire shall not consume you. And again, I don't know what you're going through right now, but whatever it is, Psalm 73, 28, you should read that verse. But before me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all of your works. See, when Jesus is the Lord of our lives, then he becomes our shelter, right? Our refuge. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't have anything else. And so the presence of Jesus in my life is all I need. All right, number two, the second thing we remember when you struggle in the valley is remember that God has a good purpose for this valley. Right? We've talked about the psalm being about Jesus being our shepherd, guiding us with his goodness. And God is good and he cannot do evil, and God has plans for your life. And so we remember that even in the problems you're going through, the valleys that you're going through, the valley of conflict or grief or fear or failure or whatever, God has a good purpose for your valley. Romans 5, 3 through 5, Paul says this, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so the valleys produce some stuff in our life, things like endurance and character and hope. And you know, there are different kinds of hope in this world, right? There's a false hope. And then there's a hope that Paul's talking about, right? A hope that does not disappoint. And in our valleys, our character is being built. And it is that character that will last. Stephen Curtis Chapman, a Christian singer, you might have heard of him, had a daughter in 2008 that was hit in the driveway of their home and died. He did an interview a while back, and he said this. He said, Jesus tells us in this world you will have trouble. He said it's a fact. But then he said this, take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. And what he's saying there is that there's another story being told that we don't always see. And he went on to say if he didn't believe that, he would have become a very angry and bitter man. And then he said this, his little girl's death underlined and solidified what he knew and believed to be true. And then he said it even made it more real for him. And he heard himself one day tell God that he would trust him and worship him, not because there's an audience watching. He said he was going to bless God's name whether he gave or whether he took away. Hosea 2:15 says, and there I will give her and her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. When the nation of Israel was in the valley of trouble, God turned it around into a door of hope. When we find ourselves in trouble, I want you to know there's always hope. Colossians 1:11, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy And as we are in God's presence, he will give us his power. So remember, you're not alone. Remember, God has a purpose. And then number three, remember, the reward will last forever. Right, it's not the end of the story. We will be rewarded being faithful to Christ in the valley. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And Paul isn't saying that afflictions automatically produce glory, because it is possible, right? You see people do this all the time, to allow suffering to destroy us. And to let affliction make us bitter and miserable and self-focused. But if we'll look to the things which are not seen, then our affliction will work in us as an eternal weight of glory. And the scriptures are clear, if we indeed suffer with him, we may also be glorified together in Romans 8. And so glory is tied to suffering. And God will accomplish in us a glory far heavier than any affliction we've ever suffered here. Found this quote, I don't know who said it, thought it was interesting. It says this, affliction is not something to be endured in order to reach glory. It is the very process which creates the glory. I think we won't be in heaven for a minute and we're going to go, what was I thinking? Right? Why did I complain so much? Well, why did I worry about what I was going through in these valleys? When we get to heaven, we're going to go, it's worth it all. And until we get to heaven, guess what? We're going to face some valleys. And believers have accidents and disappointments and financial problems and family issues and mental illness and physical illness. We all go through the valley. But here's the difference between a Christ follower and a non-believer. For the Christian, the follower of Jesus, going through the valley is very different, because it's not the absence of the shadow, but rather the presence of the shepherd. Jesus says, I'll be with you. The Lord is my shepherd. And he gives us the promise of power and purpose and protection and peace and his presence. So regardless of what valley you might be going through, you have a shepherd that will guide you. And he loves you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. And Father, we know that valleys are just a part of life. They're inevitable. We shouldn't be surprised by them. But as we have seen today, the valleys come in all different kinds of ways. And so help us to remember that you have a good purpose for those valleys. And God, our prayer this morning is that you would transform the valley of trouble into a doorway of hope. So my prayer this morning is that we would, as a church, would take that hope, the hope of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on the cross at Calvary. And we would take that message to our family and friends, to our neighborhoods, to our co-workers. And God, may we see people giving their hearts and their lives to Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen.